Well, and this Sunday, next Sunday, and then the next Sunday, April 21st, is Easter. And so I'm going to do a series starting today, next Sunday, and then Easter, called The Hope of Easter. And in it, we're going to show the different aspects that Jesus did to bring salvation to mankind. Today, this first one is called Celebrating Christ Our Passover. Now, many people do not understand the communion. They don't understand the significance between the old Passover feast, the Jewish Passover feast. They don't understand, and they don't understand the connection between that and Christ. And we're going to do our best today to show that. Let's go to Mark 14:12. Mark 14:12 in the NLT. Mark 14:12. One of the other scriptures I'm going to go to will be Exodus 12, and then Mark 14 again, and then 1 Corinthians 11. I'm doing that so that they'll know what to put on the screen. That way you can already be ready, okay? On the first day of the festival of the unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go to prepare a meal for you?" So Jesus sent two of them into Jerusalem with these instructions. "As you go into the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples?' He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is where you should prepare our meal." So the two disciples went into the city, found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. In the evening, Jesus arrived with the 12 disciples, and as they were at the table eating, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, one of you eating with me here will betray me." Greatly distressed, each one asked, Am I the one?" He replied, "Is one of you 12 who is eating from this bowl with me? For the Son of Man must die, as the scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him. It will be far better for that man if he had never been born." Now here we see that Jesus is there doing the Passover meal. It was instituted back by Moses, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But we realize that his hour had come. His time had come for him to be crucified. Now, he did several things in prep as he prepared to go for the trial, the suffering, and ultimate the triumph of being raised from the dead. But the first thing he did on his way to Calvary was to celebrate the Passover with the 12. Now, we need to understand the significance between the Jewish festival of Passover and the significance of its fulfillment in the sacrifice at Christ at Calvary. Go to Exodus 12:1. Now, some of us know this and some don't, but it's something that's not talked about very much anymore. When I was growing up, they used to talk about it quite a bit. but you don't hear a lot about it. So I said, well, I'll just do some teaching on that. Okay, it says, while the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, then on this month will be the first month of the year for you. Announce to the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb or a young goat for a sacrifice. One animal for each household. If a family is too small to eat the whole animal, let them share with another family in the neighborhood. Divided the animal according to the size of each family and how much they can eat. The animal you select must be a one-year-old male, either a sheep or a goat, with no defects. Take special care of this chosen animal until the evening of the 14th day of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lamb or their young goat at twilight. They are to take some of the blood and smear it on the sides and the top of the door frame of the houses where they will eat the animal. That same night, they must roast the meal over a fire, eat it along with bitter salad greens and bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled. The whole animal, including the head, legs, and entrails and organs, must be roasted on the fire. Do not leave any of it until the next morning. Burn whatever is not eating before morning. These are your instructions for eating the meal. Be fully dressed. Wear your sandals. Carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign, marking the houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now we see that God had sent Moses to deliver the children of Israel from Egypt bondage. And he had repeatedly, time and time again, gone to Pharaoh and asked him. And it was to no avail. And God had even sent many different plagues to try to get them to realize that, hey, you're going to have to let my people go. Now, he kept hardening his heart and refused to let the people go. So God said, okay, one more time, and the children of Israel are out of here. Now, you see, that Passover, they call it the Passover because when I see the blood, I will pass over you, that over their house. Now, that was a meal, and I want you to notice they ate it ready to move. And he gave the instructions of how it was supposed to be done. And it's important that it's done that way. We need to realize that when God give us the Word of God, especially in the New Testament, we need to learn to do exactly what God says to do. Too many people want to do it their way. But I want you to notice it was specific. And there is specific instructions for us in the New Covenant. That's the Old Covenant. Now, here, when the wrath of God is poured out on the enemies, at the same time, God's people are kept. But it's only when they do what God said to do. Now, here it says they are to take a lamb without any blemish, and they're to keep it up from the 10th to the 14th, it says. I know, being coming from Texas, I know down there many times those ranchers will bring a calf up out of the field and they'll keep it up by the house. Now, they raise the others and they go sell them on the market. But they raise that one up by the house with special food, and then they will butcher it for food for the household. Okay? This animal had to be a perfect animal without any blemishes. Then when they killed this animal, and there was a certain time to do it, it says at twilight. Now, as the blood was being poured out of the animal, they were to take some of the blood on a branch or whatever they could, maybe even their hand, and they smeared the blood on the side of the door, top of the door, and on the other side of the door. That was the sign that this house is not to be touched. Now, they were to eat that meal in a certain way and eat all of it, and any that was left should be burned in the fire. They ate the meat, they ate the bitter herbs, it's called in one place, but it'd be a bitter salad. And when the death angel came, he passed over those houses that were marked with the blood. Now, here's what I want you to get a hold of. The Passover is a type of Christ's sacrifice at Calvary. A number of things about the Passover that we actually need to realize that are types of Christ. The lamb is a type of Christ who was slain for the sins of mankind. Okay? The bitter herbs is a type of suffering that Christ would do. The blood on the sides and the top of the doorframe of the house, a type of the blood that is applied to our hearts when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. And when that blood was applied to those doorposts, then they were kept safe from the death angel that passed over. And so this is a type of the believer that is kept safe because the blood of Christ has been applied to our hearts. Now, we can certainly say that Christ is our Passover. Actually, Paul says it in Corinthians 5:7, for indeed, just in the last clause of that verse, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So Paul calls Christ our Passover. That was their Passover. This is our Passover. Now, in my book, The Table That Speaks, in fact, I did, I don't know how many messages, communion messages, and they put them in a book called The Table That Speaks. But I said this in that book. In the Old Testament, the Passover was prophetic. Through the centuries, the prophecy had been passed down from generation to generation that there would come a deliverer, a Messiah, who would again free the Israelites from slavery. But unknown to them, the fulfillment of that prophecy required the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The lamb was slain, the blood was applied, and the death angel passed over. They were delivered. Christ was slain. His blood, it says that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. When we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we pass from death unto life. Now, I'm talking about, and that's another thing you need to understand in the Word of God. When they're talking about death, you need to look to see if they're talking about spiritual death or they're talking about the cessation of life. Because it says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but we were alive, but it says we're dead. That means we were spiritually dead to God. You become alive when you accept that sacrificial offering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Okay? Now, as the devout Jews, they still celebrate this Passover. It is one of the things that they do. And so Jesus, once a year they did this, so Jesus is partaking of the Passover. So in keeping the Passover, here Jesus knew about the Passover, what it was all about, but he also knew that as he was celebrating this with his disciples, he knew that he was facing the crucifixion. He celebrated the Passover, and then he instituted something that we call our Passover, or the Last Supper, or the Communion, or the Eucharist, whatever you want to call it. You see, it was when he was celebrating that Passover when they were delivered from Egypt. And if you'll do some study, you'll find out that Egypt is a type of sin. So now he is going to be the sacrificial lamb, and his blood will be shed. But when we apply that to our hearts, then we move from spiritual death to spiritual life. There's a song, old hymn that I love. It says, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. Now, as we go here, let's go back to Mark 14 and pick up here in verse 22. As they were eating, in other words, as they were eating the Passover, they finished the Passover, then Jesus took some bread and broke it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Remember, that bread was unleavened. It didn't have any yeast in it, so it didn't rise. Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it. And he said to them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. Assuredly, I say to you, I will no longer drink of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. Here, Jesus is instituting the Passover for all of us that have become born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's this table right here. That's our Passover. Their Passover had to do with the lamb, eating the lamb, and so forth and so on. Our Passover is right here. Now, here is an interesting fact. Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the cup. Now, the bread represented his body that would suffer and be hung on a cross. As he is celebrating this and instituting this, he knows that it's about himself. His blood would be shed for the sins of mankind. The cup, here it is the, he knew the bread and the cup represented his broken body and his shed blood. I wonder what kind of thoughts was in his mind. You know, I mean, knowing that this broken bread was a picture of what was going to happen to him in just a few hours. Can you imagine what he thought as he blessed the cup, took a drink and gave it to them, realizing that his precious blood would be spilled on Calvary's hill? There's a song that says, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. As he was instituting this, he was looking down the annals of time to every individual that is ever, and every individual that will accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He realized that he was going to pay the highest price that's ever been paid for the redemption of someone. His suffering is unparalleled by anybody before him or after him. In fact, Isaiah says that his visage, or that his appearance, was so marred you could not recognize him. There's an old book, Gecky's Life of Christ, and I've read it in there. It's a very, very old book. It says that we cannot imagine the torment of his body. We think about stripes on the back, But as he describes the Roman scourge that they used, that cat of nine tails, they said that it had those different, at the end of it had all those strands with little balls of steel that had, you know, glass and nails and all kinds of stuff in it. And as they would hit, they would rake it. And he said that many times it would wrap around and rip open the skin on their stomach. It would wrap around their shoulders and even their face. It says that Isaiah, have anybody ever read that over there? That you could not recognize him. He was so mutilated. There he is, instituting what we call the Last Supper, knowing that he will pay the ultimate price. He saw not only the terrible suffering which he had to go through, but he saw past that until what we will celebrate on Easter. He saw past all of that to the triumphant resurrection. He saw his shed blood that was be shed so that men would once again be redeemed and be friends with God. He saw his body broken and beaten so that mankind could have healing. You know, as we partake of the communion, we need to realize that this is our Passover. What did Passover represent to those Jewish people? It represented freedom, deliverance from slavery, from the tyrannical rule of the Pharaoh. What does this Passover represent to us? It represents freedom from sin. It represents coming out from under the tyrannical rule of Satan himself and coming into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there's peace and life. He says that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's what this table represents. As we partake of communion, we need to remember that our Passover is a deliverance into a new life. Their Passover was deliverance into a new life also. A new life in which they were living free, not in slavery. When we celebrate our Passover, we celebrate being delivered from a life of sin and slavery unto a life of freedom in Jesus Christ, knowing that he has delivered us. I want you to notice, when they celebrate that Passover that first time, they were ready to go. That's why it's important. That's why Paul says that it's important that when you celebrate this, be sure you're ready to go. Come on. That means being born again. Let's go to, now as we celebrate, as we get ready to celebrate our Passover, let us go to 1 Corinthians 11. Anybody getting anything out of this? See, sometimes we need to understand the significance of the old in line with the new. You know, how many of you remember when Rami was here from Israel and taught us that the Hebrew, they think circular and we think linearly? Okay, their Passover, our Passover. Come right back around. Hello. Paul said, as he was trained by the Lord Jesus Christ down in the desert for 3 years, "For I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you," talking to his Corinthian church, "that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of the meat.' Now in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now here, Paul gets the same instructions that Jesus gave on that night. And Paul wasn't nowhere around. But if you notice, it's some of the same words. Jesus then is instructing us, his children, spiritually. You see, they are the children of Abraham. That is natural. But then it says, we have become the children of Abraham spiritually. We are the children of Abraham through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave these instructions. Now I want you to notice, in back in the there in Exodus, he said that they were to commemorate this yearly. If you go on, I didn't read all the way down on that. I just stopped there. But he, if you read on down from where I was reading there in Exodus, it says this is to be done yearly. Now I want you to notice that he tells Paul here, he doesn't say when to do it. He just says as often as you do it. We have chosen the first Sunday of every month to celebrate it. There are some people that celebrate it every service. Smith Wigglesworth, that great English preacher of faith, he celebrated it every morning as he got up. It doesn't say when how many times you're supposed to do it. It says often as you do it. But many times, even without taking of the emblems, when we get up in the morning time, we celebrate Christ by praising his name. Amen. Amen. Hello. Now, here he is. We are to break bread together, remembering the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to drink the cup together. It's very important that you understand the what and the why we do communion. See, many people they're never taught, so they don't really understand why we really do it. Because communion is directly tied to the Passover. That's why Paul called Christ our Passover. They represent the same thing. Their Passover in the Old Testament represented the blood shed from the animal, and it represented freedom. They walked out of Egypt. They walked out of slavery. This represents us being redeemed and walking out of sin and darkness. They both represent the same thing. That's why they're together. You see, we celebrate the redemptive work of Christ at Calvary as we partake of communion. Now, as we partake of communion, we need to realize, just like it was a finished work there, that was the final thing. God had tried to get Pharaoh to release the children of Israel. He wouldn't release them. So, okay, he said, I will finish this thing. That was the finish. That Passover was the finish. When Jesus hung on that cross, he looked up to heaven and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He took his last breath and said, it is finished. His head slumped to his chest and he was gone. That's our Passover. It was finished. When we celebrate this Passover called communion, we celebrate the finished work of Christ. Salvation, healing, deliverance, protection, and all of the other things that we can read in the Word of God. We give, when we eat that bread and drink that cup, as a representative. It doesn't become the body and blood of Christ. It is simply an emblem that represents that. When we do that, we are thanking God for our deliverance. We're thanking God for our healing. We're thanking God because we have been removed from death, spiritual death to life. We are not looking forward to our redemption. We're looking back at our redemption. Hallelujah. It's already done. It's finished. It's a finished work. We express our gratitude in worship as we give thanks to Him, as we partake of this table called the communion. Christ, our Passover, has caused us to pass from death to life. We have life and have it more abundantly. As we partake of communion, any other time after today, after this message, when you partake of communion, I want you to realize that it's your Passover. It is your door to freedom. When you have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to your heart, amen. It's your healing. It's your salvation. It's everything. It is life. Hallelujah. As we partake of the communion today, I trust you have gotten a recognition of what it really means, what this table really means. It's more than just praise Jesus. No. This is His death. This is His beaten body that we are celebrating. Our redemption. Our being set free by the blood that is applied to our hearts through the accepting of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. As we prepare now to partake of communion, I want you to go ahead. Come on, guys. I said as we prepare to take communion. I want each of us to understand what we're really doing, the what and why of it all. I have done my best in a very short time to give you a theological lesson on the significance of the Passover and the significance of the communion table. As we partake, if you're not sitting with your family or your guardians, would you move so we partake as a family? Remember in the Passover, it was the family. Hello. And then we partake together as a church family. Y'all can come ahead. As you are served, please hold your emblems until everyone is served. And we will all partake together. While you're being served, they're going to be singing. I want you to be worshiping and thanking God for Jesus Christ that has redeemed you and set you free. Thanking God for your Passover. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let us sing.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried